Kabe would need help with right now, tomorrow, this week.
As Del mentioned, the volunteers, of course, we have many, many great and fantastic volunteers, but, you know, there are many busy schedules as well, so it's hard to kind of capture that time frame when people have time to come in. So please, if you do have time to come in with, as Del mentioned, we have a membership drive coming up. Please come and join that on February 8th. And then, you know, check our social media, Facebook page, and check the website, kbu.fm, for other ways to get involved. As I mentioned, when I joined as a volunteer, I learned many things. There's trainings that you can get in, you know, whether it's media related to photography, music, live music engineering, audio. And all we ask in return is for some volunteer hours. It's a good exchange.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Erin talking with the new KBU station co-managers, Delphine and Gil. Welcome into your new role.
Thank you, Erin. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock on the dot. And next is Kitchen Table Conversation with Mary Poster-Waits. Tonight, we are talking about raising youth, parenting, young people, what they're going through. Please, if you have youth, grab them. If you are youth, grab your parents. This should be a nice conversation. Again, Kitchen Table Conversations is next on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kbu.org.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There's a time commitment about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kbu.fm or stop by the station and pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is February 18th at 5 p.m. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to the community, and KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Apply today to support your community radio station, KBOO.
Stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord. Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm a auntie figure. Now what's the difference?
Hello, 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 and good evening to everybody. This is Mary Postlewaite, Kitchen Table Conversations. Delphine Crescenzo on engineering on the board.
Hi.
We have Marshalia and Jennifer in studio.
Hey.
What's up?
So, I have a few things I actually want to talk about today. But I want to start off with my friend Jennifer here. And I'm going to let you explain it because I really don't know much about it. So she's going to talk about something that kind of shocked me. What exactly was it that your daughter had?
My daughter has autoimmune deficiency disorder, and it is linked to Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a form of multiple sclerosis. It's considered a short-term. Multiple sclerosis, for those that you don't know, is a long-term neurological disease that eats away your nerve system and slowly paralyzes you to the point where your internal functioning can no longer work. And Guillain-Barré is considered a short-term of that, so it's like a sister of MS, and you're expected to have a recovery while it going through this, but the process is extremely grueling. And what happened is that...
Yeah, tell everybody how it came about.
Well, first of all, they didn't know that my daughter was born with this autoimmune deficiency disorder until she was 2.5 years old and she got a flu shot. And of course, that's what was recommended to keep my kid healthy. And in exchange, it did not do that. And my daughter ended up having an extremely allergic reaction to it and ended up with Guillain-Barré, which is a neurological disease which temporarily paralyzes you and takes away your speaking, your bowel functions, your motor skills. Everything is gone. And you are able to recuperate that. And they, at that time when she was little, had said, you know, there's a 15% chance that this will ever happen again. You're fine. You know, it took up a better half of the year of my life when she was little, of her being in a wheelchair. And
here we are 18 years later. Well, right. 16 years later. And tell them what happened.
My daughter got a cold about almost 3 weeks ago, and within a few days, my daughter was displaying...
Did she get the flu shot?
Nope. She cannot have the flu shot. That is the side effect. If you get another flu shot, it could basically instantly kill you because you're just injecting more coldness that your body cannot fight off. So she got sick, and within a few days, I kind of thought she was feeling better, and she was looking a little better to me, and within a very 12-hour period, we were literally in the ER, and she was paralyzed from the neck down, and in the critical care unit, and my daughter spent 11 days in the critical care unit on a breathing ventilator, and... At that point, they told us that she had many bacteria growing inside of her different forms, that some of them, they didn't even know what they were. And so my concern is that they don't know how this disease starts. They don't really have much research about it, but it is affecting more people. The latest statistic is 1 in 100,000. Well, where she's at right now, there's already another woman there with the same thing. Mm. So that's two people in the same facility. And both of them, which one of them is my daughter, have had it twice now.
Wow.
So here it is reoccurring.
Already it was rare and the statistics were low of getting it
again.
First place or again.
So currently my daughter is about 65% paralyzed and she's in a rehab ward. She is off of the breathing ventilator and has been breathing on her own since last week.
That's good.
And we're slowly clearing up some of these bacteria. They're trying to figure out what exactly they are, so it's hard to treat something if you don't know what it is. So and the recuperation process for this is, you know, roughly around 6 months of your life. So I'd say about the last 3 weeks of my life have been completely turned upside down once again for something they said rare will never happen. Don't worry yourself. And so
can you tell everybody what it's called again, because I always get it messed up?
It's Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Guillain Barré, Barre syndrome.
Okay. I said it wrong.
And I really think it's worth people looking into it, especially if you want to give your child the flu vaccine or the H1N1. Mm-hmm. And there's other vaccines that are linked that your child is not to have. My daughter can't have several vaccines. I can't tell you them all right offhand. But I would really recommend looking into what it is that you're giving your children, first of all. They're also linking this to raw chicken meat that has been maybe somewhere on the production line, got a bacteria in it and was put into the market and didn't get catched, or it wasn't cooked all the way. So mm-hmm. my recommendation is, you know, really watch what you're eating and you're cooking, and, you know, clean your hands and, you know, your kids' hands. And,
you know, I wanted her to come in here and talk about this because I hold Jennifer and Keely very, that's her daughter, very dear to my heart. And it breaks my heart that, you know, she's in the hospital and having to go through the things that they have to go through right now. And just, you know, going through the things that I've gone through with illnesses and whatever. This was something that I felt is supposed to be so rare. And here now we have two women or young women that have had it twice. Now that her daughter and then the other lady in the hospital. So, you know, it just goes to show you that just because it's rare doesn't mean you're not going to get it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think that you're right. I think that everybody just needs to pay more attention to the vaccines that they're giving their children. Mm-hmm. Make sure that nobody in your family who has been vaccinated is allergic to any of them. You know, go that route. Make sure what your kids are eating and that you are cooking it thoroughly and you are washing your hands. When I was pregnant with your brother, Marshalia, I got E. coli. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it happens. But, you know, I just wanted you to come and let people know what it is and put it out there so that people can.
I appreciate it.
And are there any, like, anything that they can look for?
Well, mostly it's they end up with the flu and you start producing flu-like symptoms. But if your child or any of you complain of any type of tingling sensation in the bottom of your feet or in your hands, that is a huge indication that you are having more of a medical issue. If you are feeling any type of numbness, even just in general, outside of this, if you're feeling numbness in your feet and your hands, it could be something that you really would, you know, you don't want to ignore, because if I would have stayed home another 12 hours. I mean, we left our house while she was like barely walking. I mean, within hours, she was like literally losing her functioning. So if you feel that you are losing your sensation in your body, I really recommend just going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And just go.
Yeah, don't even worry about making an appointment. Just take
just
yourself
to the
ER.
I mean, you start talking about that you're losing feeling. I mean, this has happened multiple times. You know, when she was 12, she had kind of a minor episode too. They literally just walk us right in. I mean, they're like right this way, because you're neurological. If that's going down, they know that your lungs, your heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, my daughter's had two EKGs done. This is her second plasma transfusion. I mean, it starts getting serious.
Yeah.
I mean, and the longer you stay at home and you ignore these symptoms, you really risk slipping into a coma and dying, because your body just literally cannot go.
Right.
It cannot pump enough to keep it sustained.
Right. It's scary to me.
Yeah, me too.
Knowing that she's had it a couple few times now, I thought it was imperative that I brought you on the show and let people know about what's going on with her and
absolutely
what they need to look out for. So I want to go ahead and I thank you for putting out that. I want to go ahead and slide into what I want to talk about next, but first, before I do that, I want to say hello to my brother, Jeff, if you're listening. Delphine, can you put the phone number out there?
Sure. The phone number to call is 503-231-8187. So 503-231-8187.
Hi, Uncle Jeff.
If you're out there and you're listening, give us a call, Jeff. Your niece wants to talk to you.
I remember you. I do.
And I want to shout out to Bree and Tiger and Robert, little Robert, and bringing them up. That's what I'm going to talk about. I just want everybody to know today's probably going to be a kind of a heavy show. So, I think that it's important that I talk about it, though. And last month, I told you guys that I would tell you what was going on with my son in school, and I told you what my decision, or I told you I would tell you what my decision was, and I've decided to. Well, actually, he made the decision to go to a different school, so we're going to go ahead and try that out, and it's looking pretty positive so far. So we'll see. So, yeah, okay. So recently, last time I was talking to you guys, it was kind of like an off day for me. We had a friend pass away, And again, with a heavy heart, another thing that has happened besides your daughter being in the hospital is a good friend of ours' daughter passed away the other day from a brain aneurysm. She had a headache and she took a nap and didn't come get back up. And she had been having headaches. And I say this because, you know, I suffer from headaches and sometimes they're really bad. And if you are suffering from, you know, bad headaches frequently, I urge you to go and have your brain looked at. Seriously. Because an aneurysm can just drop you to the floor like that and there's no coming back. So, you know, I urge everybody out there who is suffering from any kind of pain in their head to go and get it looked at. It's a serious issue. She was a nice girl, a mom of three, and very young. We lost her at a very young age. But yeah, so I just wanted to let everybody know. We have a caller. Lori, are you there?
Hi, yes I am.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, great. I just happened to tune into your show and was listening, and it caught my attention because I live here in Portland, and my friend got DNBR, my next-door neighbor got it, and my coworker. And
really?
This is all here in Portland.
Yeah.
And my neighbor passed away.
Yeah. My daughter's best friend's grandfather passed away as well from it. So
wow. I mean, this is crazy. So how rare is it really?
Right.
I mean.
Right. So how rare is it really?
Right. That's crazy. You know, you don't hear about things like this.
I had never heard about this disease until 2011 when my friend got it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was out of commission for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
My coworker got it. And she ended up in the hospital in the rehab section.
Yeah.
She's recovered now and back to work, but that was at least 6 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
And 27-year-old neighbor who ended up, I think she was in too much pain to want to continue treatment.
Yeah.
She died at home.
Wow. I'm sorry for that.
Me too.
That really sucks.
Yeah,
I appreciate you calling.
18 years old, so.
I appreciate you calling in and letting us know that. You know, that's another thing that people... Do your research.
Yeah, it's not uncommon.
It's not as rare as the doctors say it is, obviously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. So, again, thank you, Lori, for calling. And again, I'll urge my brother Jeff to call if you're listening.
503-231-8187 is the number to call.
Thank you for that. So along with our friend passing, well, our friend's daughter passing, there's a couple things that I want to talk about. One, because it upsets me personally, and two, because I think that coming from a person like myself, that hopefully more of the adults out there will listen and, you know, open their ears up. So, I don't know, about a week or so ago, there was an incident of a young man who committed suicide. I believe he hung himself. And, you know, a year prior to that, he was going to commit suicide and apparently was talked off the roof of a building, of a school. And now I have to tell you, I said school. The thing about this whole situation here is this young man was 10 years old.
Mm.
And it hurts my heart to sit and think what it is that's going through a 10-year-old's mind that makes them so sad that they feel like they're not deserving enough to live. I have experience in that, so I understand how the little boy felt. And if any of you have listened or watched me on Facebook and your kids are listening, I want to tell you that no matter how you feel, there's always somebody out there for you. You can always make a phone call. You can always go to a neighbor, call a school teacher, somebody. Talk to somebody. You know, let it be known what's going on. Don't take your life, because you're worth it. With that being said, I want to talk to you adults out there. There was an incident at my house where my kid's friends, well, a young girl that was living with me previously, she had come with one of her friends over to my house, and, you know, we were just talking, just whatever, and the topic came up of parenting, and there was, like, a look on the girls' faces, and I was wet, and she was like, she wants you to go talk to her mom, and I'm like, about what? Parenting? And she was like, yeah. And that hurt my heart, because here we have a 15-year-old girl who's sitting on the couch of one of her friend's friends and asking me to go and speak with her mom on how to be a parent. Mm-hmm. The situation was, it was freezing outside and they were locked out of the house. She was in there, but they were locked out.
The mother locked them out?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know...
So now we have to go tell this mother how to be a parent and open her door.
Right. So that's how I feel.
But this little girl's not the only one who's ever said that. You know, like, I've had friends my age, you know, say that. I've had, you know, friends Elijah's age and younger say that about, you know,
that their own parents are putting them out.
Not just putting them out, but feeling like
they can't go home.
Yeah, or that they're not being parents. You know, like, people say all the time to me, oh, I wish I had your mom. Like, I wish your mom was my mom. Because they just want some love. They want to feel like...
Wanted.
Yeah. Wanted. And, you know, sometimes they want tough love, but they're not going to tell you they want
love. Of course
they're
not going to tell you.
They want structure. So, they want discipline.
I told the young lady that I would go on the air and I would speak about it. And so this is geared towards all you adults out there. You know, I am no perfect parent. Believe that. I have made many, many, many mistakes. And I have made many, many, many mistakes in my life. And that's okay. Because what I've done from those is I've learned. And what I've learned is to listen to my children. Yeah, sometimes they're wrong and sometimes I don't want to hear what they have to say. And that's okay. But when it comes to how they feel, we as people do not have the right to tell another person that they are not feeling the way that they are feeling. You don't know how they feel. So you have no right to tell them how they feel. So one thing that I've prided myself on in raising the kids was I've always told them that their feelings were validated. If you're sad, you're sad. It's okay. You're allowed to be sad. If you're angry, you're angry. You're allowed to be angry. You know, that's okay. It's what you do with those emotions that, you know, makes it right or wrong. And a lot of people that I know seem to have some issue one way or another about how I parent my children. And it's funny that, you know, I get that from people, because the same people are the ones that come to me and ask me for advice, or their kids come to me and ask me to come talk to their moms and dads. Mm-hmm. And I cannot stress enough, we as adults need to stop and listen to our kids. They are this world's future. Without them, there will be nothing. And if we continue to treat our children like they do not have a voice, we will not have kids in the future. It's just not going to work out.
Right.
You know, I have to stress that. I make mistakes every single day. But one thing that my children know, and if they don't, I don't know why, is that no matter what happens in life, I don't care what you've done, where you're at, or who you're with, I got your back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got your back.
Yeah, we know that. We know that to the fullest.
I will fight to the death for my children, and I will value what it is that their opinions and what they have to say. I may not like it, but at some point I have to listen. Because I know how it feels to be a young adult and not be listened to. I know how it feels to feel like you're not loved or unwanted. I know how it feels. And I know how it feels to feel like you don't belong on the earth, that you're not worth anything. I know how that feels. And I don't want anybody out there to feel that way. And the only way that our children in the future are gonna have positive outlooks on life and, you know, have good outlook on themselves is if we reinforce how they are and the positivity that they do today. We can yell at them for what they do wrong, but you know, when your child gets a C on a paper, say, hey, you know what? Good job. It doesn't take much for you to say, I love you. Good job. You know, it doesn't take much to say, hey, you know what? Chicken butt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And make them laugh. Those are the little things that our kids want from us. They're not going to tell you, Mom, can you, you know, put me in my room and ground me for a week? No, they're not going to tell you that. But they are going to tell you that they're angry and they want you to listen. You never listen to me. So guess what? Stop and listen and value what they have to say. Your kids are calling out. They're asking for your help. They're asking for you to be there. This young man that just committed suicide, he was asking for help.
Mm-hmm. He was 10.
He was not. Nobody's going to come up and say what they do wrong. They're not going to do that. That's not how life works. But you can see the signs. And if you can recognize the signs, then maybe you can make a difference in that person's life. You know, I've done a lot of crap in my life, and I've made a lot of bad decisions. And it took me a long time to become an adult. But I chose to raise my children the way I felt like I was not raised. I chose to be the stay-at-home mom and to give my children my physical being and my mental being so that they know that I support them and that I'm there for them.
You know, let me remind you something, too. I had just told Michelle, I don't know, maybe today or yesterday, I said, you know what, it doesn't really matter what anybody else says. I said, you're only 19 years old. Who can mm-hmm. anybody? And she's graduated high school. She's healthy. She's happy. She's got her brother. She's got a home.
Yeah.
Her mom's doing whatever, by all means necessary, to take care
she's
of her.
She's not pregnant. She's not on drugs. She's not.
We were talking about the incident right. about
she doing good.
Someone saying, this a specific person talking about how I don't have my life together because of you. And that's how Jen had got on that topic of that, because...
But what more do we want from her? She's got a job.
Right.
She's helping her family.
She's more responsible 19. Than some adults.
Right. She's over here helping me in my time of need when my kid is in the hospital.
Right. When I don't work, I go over there and help. And
I was like, I told, just put your blinders onto them, folks. Just keep it pushing.
Oh, I do.
Stay in your lane and just keep doing you.
Yeah. I don't really pay attention to it, but it hurts when I have other kids come up to me and say things. And then, you know, it just... When somebody says something negative to me about the way I parent my children, I don't like fight with them over it or whatever, because I'm like, whatever. Me and my children have what I consider a dynamic relationship.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a relationship like mine and my children's out there very often. If I had a mother like me when I was growing up,
I'd be all right.
I wouldn't be here right now. You know, I'd be modeling out in Paris or something.
Right.
You know, so...
But times, I feel you on that. Like
times are different. Mm-hmm. They're not like they were when I was a kid. They're not. School is different. Kids are different. Environment's different. Everything is different.
Well, and just to kind of touch back on my daughter a little bit, when my daughter got moved hospitals here recently, the first thing they did was put my daughter on a psychotic medication. Before I even got on the scene, they had already in between route. But they couldn't wait to give my kid an antipsychotic medication to claim her as depressed, crazy, whatever it is they were trying to put the label on. And as soon as I got on the scene, I give meds for a living to people that may or may not need them, and that's not for me to say whether they do or don't need them, but I'm ordered to give these people these meds. So for them to want me to rationalize to give my 18-year-old daughter some psychotic medication, I said, is she in here throwing stuff again?
Right.
And they said no, and I said, well, then we not giving her no meds.
Right. You know, and that's the thing.
But since she was 18 years old, they didn't even ask my daughter's permission. They didn't even call me, so I popped up on the scene, and I'm ready to, you know, run it on down. I said, you legally can't do this. You have to stop that med immediately. You didn't ask anybody's permission, and nor has my daughter requested this or showed signs that she actually needs this.
Right.
See, I want to see your documentation proving that my kid needs this.
Even though her daughter's 18, she took the initiative to say, hey, no. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that.
Nope.
You know, why did she do that? Because she knows she cares about her daughter.
Right.
You know, she doesn't want her to be on that kind of thing. She didn't want to be on it in the first place.
We're here for another reason. You know, we would come here on a psychotic episode.
Right. So, you know, it just goes to show you that you don't you don't have to be perfect to be a parent. Because I sure am not perfect. Believe that.
But common sense. I think,
common sense is something.
But I know we're not all born with it, but...
No, and some of them...
That's where the internet comes in. You need to do a little research. If you don't have common sense, research your common sense.
Right. That's what I was going to say, Jennifer. It seems like definitely like researching, like looking into what's available. And yeah, I'm definitely thankful for the internet for being able to find anything anytime. I mean, just the symptoms you were talking about your daughter, you know, I mean, obviously you knew about her illness for a very long time, but folks that, you know, something like this is new, you know, I mean, I don't know. I've found out a lot of stuff about myself on the internet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Researching.
I've researched a couple things about issues that are going on with me. And, you know, I found out some interesting stuff. But, you know, all jokes aside, though, I'm really being serious. You know, our kids are fighting to just live. You know, we as parents need to open our eyes. Like I said, I'm not perfect, and I'm not judging anybody. I'm not one to judge somebody. But what I am doing is I'm telling you that you need to listen. You need to open your ears and open your eyes to what's going on out there. You know, I see too much every day. I see kids running around the streets. I see kids not wanting to go to school like my son because of whatever. You know, I see kids in gangs. I see kids on drugs. I see kids homeless. You name it, I see it. You know, if we could just stand up for them, it might make a little bit of a difference. Nothing's going to happen overnight. Nobody's perfect. Nothing is perfect. However, you can make a difference. You know, stop being in your head. Stop being the parent or the you know, disciplinarian or whatever, and just stop. Stop. Just stop. And have a conversation. Sit down at the table. Eat a sandwich with your children and listen to what they have to say. That's all it takes. That's all you have to do. You know? They want you to be there. They want you to do the things that a parent is supposed to do. They want that structure. They want that love. And I see too many times, I see that the kids don't have that. If you're coming to my house and you're saying something to me about having to go parent your parents, that's telling me that there's a big problem out there. Mm-hmm. A big problem. We already know that we have a lot of youth that, you know, feel lost.
Well, I think it also really results back to, like, you know, parents are burnt out.
Oh, yeah.
They've expunged all of their resources. They have no money. They're overworked. They're working multiple jobs. We have to think most African-American men are in prison.
I won't go that far.
Well, but that is true, though, that most populated people in prison are African-American. And not that is, we're classifying any... I'm just saying more and more of this is happening, and more kids are getting ripped away from their fathers and mother, and there's no real system in place to transition people back into society. They say there is, but
yeah, right.
I work for it, so I see how that really works, and it doesn't really work.
No.
And so it becomes a cycle of over and over and over of people going back to prison and leaving their kids feeling very hopeless.
Right.
And even with their parents in prison, there's not enough resources to keep connected, enough
right.
physical...
And they end up following along in their...
And there's no physical interaction. I mean, if I can't reach out and touch somebody I love, I mean, how do you really sustain?
I get that parenting's hard. You know, I understand. I'm a parent. You're a parent. Right. We know. And people work and they're tired, and you know, there's something every day that I'm sure pops up in people's lives that is an obstacle for something or another, and you know, that's life. But you know, you need to stop making excuses, period.
For sure.
I mean, I'm just going to keep it real. You parents out there that don't listen to your kids, your parents out there that don't ask your kids where they're going, you parents out there who don't pop up at the school, who don't care what your kids are doing at school, who don't look at the friends and be like, well, where do you live? What's your number? Let me talk to your mom. You know, for those of you parents out there who don't do those things, you need to start doing those things. And you can be mad at me. You can take it the way you want to. But I'm here to tell you that I experienced too many times children coming to me, and I say children because anywhere from 18 or 17 down, you're a child. You're a child, period. And if somebody else's child is coming to me and asking me to talk to their parents about being a parent, then, you know, and I am who I am and have done what I've done, you know, just right. being the person I am, as opposed to, you know, like, you know, Betty Crocker or, you know, June Cleaver
don't
or something.
Don't compare yourself to Betty Crocker.
I mean, I'm more of like the Morticia, you know what I'm saying, as far as that goes. But, you know, I try not to judge my kids. There's certain things that, you know, I have zero tolerance for. Like, you know, be presentable. Don't go out there with your booty hanging out.
We was talking about that earlier.
Don't
me
do
and
all that.
Yep.
You know, don't go out there and whatever. But, you know, again, like I've said before, my kids aren't on drugs. They're not, you know, my son has a little
pregnant,
bit.
I'm not pregnant. I'm not in jail. I'm not dead.
Right.
He's not in jail. He's not on drugs. He's not a gangbanger.
She's not a prostitute. Thank God.
Thank God. And I was just thinking the same thing. Thank God. Ooh, knock on wood.
But, you know, so for all my unconventional parenting and all my, oh, so you're just, your relationship is different with your kids, I don't think I did too bad.
And when people say, like,
no, you did
that
good,
you
Mary.
Did, you know, when they talk about how you parent or whatever, it kind of makes me feel some type of way. I'm like, did I turn out to be such a bad kid? Like,
right.
did my mom really do something? Like, come on now.
Well,
for
if we
real,
look
like,
at the statistics, things were not supposed to turn out quite so good
no,
here for
they
either
weren't.
Mary
like, come
or
on now.
I.
Like, my mom's, she went into labor with me, like, while she was locked
working.
Up. Like, come on now. No, that's I wasn't supposed to be here right now today, what I'm doing. No.
Right, but...
But you are.
Right. I feel like I'm in a good spot.
We,
I got a job.
We as parents are our children's best defense against right. the world. We are their best defense against the world.
Right.
Period. Another thing I want to say to all these young people out here, you know, a lot of times our families don't listen to us.
No.
Even when we're kids. And it's because we're kids. We're, you know,
right, you have nothing to say.
Right.
You're cool. That actually is exactly what I was going to say is, you know, young people are just really, really smart, you mm-hmm. know, and we have to stop thinking that there is, you know, this, you know, differences of hierarchy, you know, between adults and young people and mm-hmm. that they don't have anything to contribute.
And of course, we know you're the adult. We know that. And we know that the kid is the kid, and everybody has a role in life. You know, that's not
your role is to play the child right now. Sorry.
Right. And there's certain things that, you know, yeah, I don't bend on. Yes, there are those things, but
it doesn't mean that they're not a person and they don't have opinions or thoughts
right.
or feelings or,
and for the kids out there who really just have that type of home life where it's just not the place for them to go and, you know, talk about how they feel. I want to let you know something. Don't go around in life thinking my family hated me. Let me tell you something. Blood only makes you related.
Mm-hmm.
It does not necessarily right. make you family.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. When you're sad and you feel like your blood relatives aren't paying any attention to you, just know that the people that you have close to you that are not related to you can be just as good for you as somebody who you would want as your parent.
Right.
So, you know, remember that. And no, I've made my family out of people.
Yeah, because I was just about to say the only blood I got is my mom and my little bro. So
right. And, you know, yeah, I had my family when I was younger, but.
Did you really?
Not in my head. Right. I didn't. And as I grew up, no, we become estranged. And now mm-hmm. I don't talk to him. I spoke with my brother, but, you know, I don't speak with my family for a reason. And that's okay. I can feel the way I want to feel.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I've grown up and I've done some growing and whatever, whatnot. But, you know, hey, it is what it is.
But it doesn't change who you are as a person and it doesn't change how you parent your kids and how you value them.
Can I add also that I feel sometimes we have like just expectations and I feel very often parents, I know my parents for sure, had like very clear expectations of to like who I would be or what I would do or how I would behave, you know. So I feel sometimes the clash happens right there where parents are not wanting to let go of what they see. Like I'm just thinking in the case of, you know, Marcellia, maybe people are expecting, you know, like the typical whatever people believe is success, you know, like going to college. But what does that entail? It entails debts. It entails, you know, a lot of
heartache.
Yeah. I mean, it entails, you know, like really conforming to a certain way of learning and sharing knowledge, you know. So I think that we need to be okay as young people. And I would like to encourage any young person to be comfortable with who you are and understand that you are in some way already from the future. You can see possibilities, mm-hmm. maybe that adults are not able to see because they are not exposed to what you are exposed to. I mean, that's kind of the way I felt. And mm-hmm. I personally feel very privileged that I kept pushing, you know, for, you know, doing things the way it felt right for me at the time that it felt right for me. But for sure, my parents had very strong expectations about what I was going to do. And I feel that sometimes their lack of support or their lack of attention was really much based on their disappointment with not getting what they, you know, thought should come, you know.
Right. And yeah, that's true.
I've never told my kids what they should or shouldn't do. Yeah. Whoever you are, you play off whatever your creativity
just
is.
Do it to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never done that with my kids.
I've never set unrealistic expectations for my child.
I tried not to. I don't know if I have or not. I mean, they haven't told me anything. Well, my son, but he's too literal about everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's too technical.
That's a whole nother show.
My thought is one foot in front of the other. Is if you're putting one foot in front of the other and you're trying every day, hey, that's good enough for me.
Like, right. That's how I
feel. I don't need you to be a doctor or
that's how I feel. I have no disappointments on how my children.
Never.
You know.
They're alive. Shoot.
Right.
They're fine.
So, yeah. And you know, now, this day and time, more than ever, our children are going to need us. The United States, we are about to go through, in my opinion, let me put that out there. In my opinion, I feel like we're about to have some, you know, turbulent days coming.
Oh, for sure.
And
illness is right there in the mix of all of it,
absolutely.
Too. That's one of the things that's going to get us is we're all going to be a walking sick factor here real soon.
Man, and we need to, now more than ever, we need to start opening our eyes and, you know, listening to the kids and coming together with our children and with ourselves, with our community, with our neighbors, and, you know, family, if you have family come together with, we need to stand with each other. Because right now, our children are scared. They don't know what's about to happen. You know, I've heard kids say, are they going to take me from my family? You know, am I going to have to go, you know, somewhere else? And for me, that's not okay. I mean, it's not all right that a child should feel like they're going to be taken from their family. Or, you know, maybe their family wasn't there and they traveled or something like that, and now they can't come back. Right. And that's not okay either, because either way, you're stripping that family of what they, you know, what the family is supposed to have together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to lift our kids up in these times and show them that we've got their back and that they are the future and that we can make it through all this just together, you know. If we don't do this and we don't start, I'm not saying be your kids' friends, because before I'm my kids' friend, I'm their mother, and I'll answer them as their mother. But if they want to know how I would answer as a friend, I would do that too, you know, and they might not be the same answer. But however, I don't consider myself their friend. I'm their mom. I just know that what I did when I was younger and some of the things that I got into when I was younger, like, you know, skipping school or whatever, whatnot, I get the whole thing and I look at it differently. I'm not like, oh, no, you should do that. Well, you know, it's your education. Not saying that I want you to go skip school. No, I don't. I want you to stay in school, get an education, you know, do whatever. But those are the choices that you make. And now that you made the wrong choice, you need to suffer the consequence. And that's just the way it is. And because of that relationship, I can sit here today with my daughter and talk on the air, and I can look at my son in his face and we can have a conversation, whether he's literal or not. You know, I mean, we can do that. I couldn't do that with my parents.
Still can't.
No.
I'm grown.
There's no way. There's no way. And so, you know, I feel proud of myself that my children can do that. And because of that, I feel like my children are proud of me. And that's what makes me happy, is that my kids are proud of me, that I did at least a normal job of raising them, whatever you want to consider normal. You know, our normal is weird to some people, but that's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be normal to you.
I like being weird.
That's all right. We just got flavor in our life.
Absolutely.
We all have our own normal.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I was going to take a break a little bit earlier, but, you know, I just, every once in a while, I want to do shows like this because, you know, I've spoke to my listeners before and they've briefly heard part of my story. Here and there, I try to tell parts, but, you know, I like to justify how I talk by the fact that I've gone through so much in my life, and I feel like I have the ability and I'm allowed to sit in that chair to speak that, you know what I'm saying? To talk about those kind of things, because I experienced it. And
I think I'm the longest standing person that you may probably know in your life.
I think so too, actually.
21 years.
Yeah.
That's older than me. Yeah. Sheesh.
Man. Do you agree, Jennifer, that Mary deserves that spot?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take it anyway.
No, because I was going to agree 100% that you
Mary's
deserve.
Mary's a wise woman.
It took me a long
to
time.
To be right here, yeah.
A lot of mistakes. A lot of, you know, crying and yelling and, you know, a lot of heartache.
Traveling.
A lot of traveling. It took me a long time to get where I'm at. Again, I'm not perfect, but I'm happy. I'm, well,
Amen.
Relatively, you know, I mean, I have my issues too, but I'm proud of how my children turned out, even with all their mistakes. You know, it's okay. Nobody's perfect. They're allowed to make mistakes, and that's what sets me apart from
other
parents.
But if they knew you, and they, or even me, if they knew us, I mean, we look so opposite compared to our story, but if people really knew me and you, they would really go, oh.
Oh, yeah, I hear all the time, wow.
Wow.
In fact, when you came over and you were talking and we were just talking about past, after you had left, the comment was made like, wow, oh, okay, well, it was kind of like all the stories were validated. And I was like, I told you.
Right, I tell people, like when I tell people things, they look at me like I'm crazy and I'm like, oh, no, this stuff really happened.
Oh, yeah, it's real.
It's real.
Just go ask Mary.
Just go ask Mary. Right. It's like, she'll validate every story right. I just told you.
And in turn, you know, I've always kept that real with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my life and what I've been through is not saying that everything in my life I talk to my kids about, but pretty much everything.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just
a very open.
Yeah, I'm just a very open person. Now, I'm not saying go out there and tell your whole kids or all your everything private.
Right, because there's definitely a lot of
things
that
they don't want to know.
Not want to know.
But
see, I always talk to my daughter. My daughter's always been my rock
because
I was 18 when I had her. My boys, they're just now recently learning some things, and they're like, oh.
Well, they're different. Raising a boy and a girl, it's different.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to keep my daughter on the straight and narrow. The boys, I don't know if I have to worry about that with them so much.
Yeah. I'm just happy that my daughter's not pregnant.
Yeah, me neither. Hey, amen.
I'm
Can
just
I get
happy.
A hallelujah?
I do not babysit. I don't babysit.
But I bet you she'll babysit mine.
Except Mirjam, if you're out there, I want to see Jackson.
Aww.
Yeah. Can you bring my nephew to Portland, please?
That's what's up.
I miss him.
I bet you do.
No, well, I have Marshalia now, so I don't need Mary. I just borrow her kid.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm the babysitter.
And she's a good one, mind you.
All the
I cook and clean.
The ragging on the parents that I've done. And all the, you know, down talking to them and myself, because I'm a parent too, and I need to open my ears and eyes too, sometimes. So all the ragging that I've done.
That's worth it.
I guess if you take it in and actually use it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you can always ask questions of your friends, you know. It's not like I look at my kids and be like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go next door and ask my neighbor what do I do. That's not what I'm saying.
I might call Mary though.
You know, if you're having an issue with one of your kids or a situation in your life and you know are stressed out about it or whatever, you know, call your friend or call your daughter. You know, because if I get stressed out or have an anxiety attack, she's the one I'm going to is my daughter because she knows everything about me.
I better be the one she's going to.
You know, but have a better relationship where you are able to do that as a parent and as a child.
And Marshaley and I just were talking about this earlier. Actually, it's kind of funny how this all links together about how to have better relationships with people and the different things you can do inside that relationship to make the outcome better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by reacting to things that make you upset. You know, of course, things make us upset all the time, but it's how you react to the thing is what the outcome is going to be.
Right. Excuse me.
And you know, you make it into a catastrophe. It's going to be a catastrophe, and eventually you're going to have a broken relationship with whoever it is because those things are going to build up over time, and you're going to make resentment.
Yes.
But if you kind of maybe just take a little silence moment and just kind of get yourself under control, let your own irritation go before mm-hmm. you approach the situation again, boy, you're going to have such a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know,
because it's natural to be upset. It's natural to have irritations. That's just life.
Of course. But I'm sure I get on my kids' nerves.
Right. If I walked around reacting to everybody's irritations, boy, I'd be,
I don't think I'd ever have any friends.
They'd like, be like, oh, no, you have to go home.
Oh, geez, I get so stressed. You know, yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah. I just, you know, being a parent is a hard thing to do.
Being an adult is a hard thing to do. Let's just say that. Anybody that's out there grown today, paying your own bills and running your own life and taking care of your own kids, can I get an amen, please? Amen. Somebody call in and holla.
I don't even got kids, but I'm
But you know what? Amen. She running my life, too. When I'm not around right at the moment, she running my life, which I am grateful for that today.
I think it's so funny. It makes me laugh when people that we know say that we don't have a good relationship with our kids.
Really? What?
I have a great relationship with my kids.
But that was said about me. Mine and my daughter's relationship.
Well, they don't know you. And I know you. Well,
I don't even know why she would make that comment. But you know, it is what it is.
She surely doesn't know you then.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're talking out the side of your neck, then you really don't know somebody.
And I'll put it out there. I'm here the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. So, you know, I know it's monthly, but you can call me and be like, you know,
or you can pop up at KBOO.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You know, what do I say? How do I talk to my teenager? You know, and first of all, don't talk to them like they're a kid.
Right.
Because they have ideas and they have thoughts and feelings and emotions also, you know. So don't make them feel like they're not too smart or, you know, like they're 2 years old. So that would be the first thing is to talk to your kids as a person and, you know.
Even if they are 9 or 10 or whatever.
Be available to your kids. Even if your kid ain't speaking. I got a kid. He doesn't say much. He kind of goes kind of mute. But be available when he does want to talk because when he does got something to say. He got something to say.
And he wants you to listen right then and there.
Right then and there, whether you want to or not. And so even though he's mute most of the time and doesn't talk about his feelings and emotions, doesn't mean that he ain't got him.
That's true.
So just because he ain't verbally expressing him does not mean that the child is not going through something.
That's true. And we just have to look at the signs.
You have to know your kid personally.
I was just going to say, you need to observe.
Yes.
If you know your kid personally, you should know exactly what's going on with your child.
And it's sad that there are people out there that don't.
Oh, and I know my kids so well that I refuse to let anybody tell me anything different about my child because I know my child.
Me and Marshaley are so in tune, I get her cramps.
Yeah.
I think I was getting hips. I think my hips are hurting for my daughter.
Right. You know,
my daughter and I can look at each other. The doctors told me, you know, you need to control your daughter up in here. She's kind of acting kind of crazy because the only thing she could move was her wrist. So she's throwing clipboards and pens, whatever they've given her to her hand. I said, just give me 5 minutes. I'll control this.
Right. We'll get it together.
I looked at her and was like, you good? She was like, I'm good. I'm like, then you need to chill out and let me run this.
Right.
So, okay. So, all bull aside, I almost cussed there. Did you see me catch myself?
Yep.
I caught myself. I'm proud of myself. all bull aside, you know, like I said, it's hard to be a parent. And it's just hard in life, period. You know, and I'm not judging anybody, and I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. But what I am saying is that if you're having some issues, you don't know how to talk to your children, you don't know what to say or how to do it or, you know, when to do it, ask somebody. If you want to call me on the first Wednesday of every month, you know, and get tips on how to talk to your kid, that's fine. You can do that. I'll tell you what I do with my kids. You know, I'm not no doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm not a lawyer. Well, actually, let my kids tell it. I am a doctor. I am a lawyer. I'm a cab.
As a matter of fact,
I'm a doctor. Okay.
I change my hat 10 times a day. I don't know about you.
I'm like, let her get that correct. I'm the doctor.
There's people out there that you can talk to. And you don't have to feel some kind of way about asking about what's going on with your kids. Because as teenagers, you know, there's a lot going on today. And, you know, if we don't be nosy. I'm a pop-up mom. I'll pop up at a friend's house in a minute.
And
you don't know when I'm coming, so you would want to keep your nose clean. You know, and that's just how it is. You should be like that. Be that nosy parent. Be the parent that the kids are irritated with.
My mom
you won't
don't care
leave them
if I'm
alone.
19. She don't care.
I don't care. I don't she because don't. These are my children, and I want to make sure that they have the best experience in life as best as I can give it to them. You know?
Hey.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. And if anybody mad at that, well, then I'm not sorry.
I ain't mad at it. So nobody
else
should be.
They're just jealous because they can't have the same relationship. You know?
Oh, well.
It is what it is. But as I can say that because I know who I'm talking about. But and I'm sure they know who I'm talking about, too.
If they listening.
If they're listening. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to put all this out there. And I did a show before about the dynamic relationship that me and my daughter have. And I just wished I would have had a better relationship with my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe my life wouldn't have went the way it did, and I would have not made some of the decisions that I made in my life.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be here right now.
But I don't regret it.
Yeah.
I don't regret my life.
All it did was form you to be who you are today.
Absolutely.
So,
you know.
I can't be mad at anything that I've done.
I was sad about certain aspects of it, but I'm not anymore. I've gotten over it and moved on. But however, I know what I felt, and I know how I don't want my kids to feel.
Sure.
And in order for me to make sure that they don't feel the same way I felt about the things that were going on in my life is to not do it, right?
Amen.
So, you know, I just learned from my experiences and try to implement the best to my ability, my knowledge in life to my kids, you know?
That's all you can ask for.
And so, I'm 100% open to anybody, you know, coming and you can talk to me, you can call me up and talk to me and we can talk about it. And you don't have to feel some kind of way because I'm not here to judge you. And I'm not here to tell you you're a bad parent because, you know, if that's how you feel about yourself, then you need to look in the mirror and figure out what it is that you need to fix. I had to look in the mirror and figure out what it was that I needed to fix. And that's okay because, you know, it's a learning process. So don't be afraid to pick up a phone and to call and to, you know, let it be known what the issues are that you think that maybe you could get some help with, you know, and listen to the advice that you get. It might not necessarily always work for you, but
be
you can
open.
At least try, right? Be open to the fact that there are other ways of parenting your children. You don't have to be so hard on them. You don't have to put your finger on them all the time, but you do have to be a nosy parent. You do have to be the parent that is popping up at the house. Oh, you're here. Okay, good. I just wanted to say, I love you. Okay, mm-hmm. Bye. You know, be that parent.
My kids know I'm right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me too. My kids know. And if anything happens, they know. Pick up a phone. Call me. I'm there. I got your back, whether bad, good, it doesn't make a difference. I got you. And all children, in my opinion, should feel that way. All kids should feel like their parents got them. And unfortunately, it doesn't go like that. So, you know, those of us who have been one way and now maybe are have a different outlook on life, we need to be the ones to, you know, I guess lead. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'll say lead the parents of the children who are having the issues nowadays. You know, as many issues as I've had in my life, and for me to have the relationship I have with my kids, it's a learning process, and I did it all by myself.
Me too.
I didn't do it with anybody else. It was all me, and so I feel like I have a little bit of something to talk about, mm-hmm. and that I know what I'm talking about a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. So with that being said, I'm going to let you guys go and I will be back on air the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. Again, give a call in whenever you feel like you need some advice or just to talk. This is Joss Stone, Free Me, and have a wonderful month.
Listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock on the dot, and next is Keeping It Real. You might be tuning in for Hard Knock Radio, but this is new since last month. Every first Wednesday at 7 p.m., it's